Blog Talk Radio.
Friday actions, I think more, I'm really curious, I think that's great. that I hope there's enough people to make a difference, you know. Black Friday would be a great day to protest Walmart, man. Anybody could. You know what I mean?
These shoppers won't even notice.
They'll just run them down.
That's right.
I mean, they killed a Walmart shopper a couple of years back. They just ran over, they just opened the doors.
Yeah.
They ran over, so many people ran over them, they killed them.
Yep. They could never find out who was responsible.
And we're still not making it.
Because I have to choose between paying my bills and having enough to eat.
Because I'm 52 years old and I can't afford my own apartment on what I make at Walmart.
Because management bullies us and causes unnecessary stress.
Stand up, live better. Because I'm tired of working for a company where workers get cheated and cheaters get rewarded.
Because I want a better life for myself. Because my management disrespects me in front of customers.
Stand up, live better.
Walmart people aren't
because right. I'm tired of seeing my coworkers discouraged and mistreated.
Because of favoritism and unfair scheduling.
Because management needs to work with their associates when they're doing their work schedule.
Because the Walton family has as much wealth as 45 million American families.
Stand up, live better.
Because long-term associates are being fired.
Because I'm tired of my store manager calling my fellow associates stupid.
Because they don't treat me like a human being.
Stand up, live better.
Because my fellow associates have to use our local food pantry.
Because I am tired being discriminated by management.
Because we have to depend on each other, check by check, and borrow money from each other just to make it to the next week.
Stand up, live better.
Because of all favoritism in my store.
Because I love my job, but I hate the way I'm being treated unfairly.
Because when we speak out, Walmart retaliates.
Because if I weren't able to live with family, I would have to choose between health care and food.
Stand up, live better.
Because we are a people. We're not cattle. We deserve respect.
Because I treat my mom with discipline while I want my mom to be treated.
Because when I started college, Walmart cut my hours.
Because I spoke out in my store and Walmart immediately fired me for it.
Stand up. Live better.
Because together, we are stronger than we are alone.
Because I like to make a difference for those who are scared to come forward.
Because Walmart can afford to pay us enough.
Stand up.
Live better. Hey, you know,
those are very brave people.
Yeah.
I'm sure they all need those jobs.
They do.
They must be terrified of being fired, but they're in such a conundrum they have to speak up because they can't afford to live. They have no...
it's discrimination. I mean, people are talking about discrimination there. I mean, they're talking about...
favoritism in the store.
Yeah, and all this kind of stuff. Very, very weird, weird stuff. I mean, it's not just bad wages, you know? It's like everything.
Bad work environment.
Bad, terrible work environment. I feel bad because I've gone to Walmart, and it's just, I don't know. Just a horrible thing.
It's really tough on people.
It is. I don't know. Let's see.
And on top of it all, they have to work on a holiday.
Yeah, they're forced to work on a holiday. Let's see what Trump says.
4 score and 7 years ago, my fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived.
It's only a minute-long thing, and he's doing the Gettysburg Address. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, let's find out. Just let him play it for a minute, please.
Yeah, but you know what?
Just play it for a minute.
So dedicated, can long endure. We were met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract.
The Veterans Day, Civil
War.
The
Veterans Day.
Bullcrap. Okay. We don't need to hear that, Mr. Trump, but okay, thank you for being...
Well, it's a tribute to the veterans.
Yeah, it's a tribute to, I mean, the Civil War. Kind of outdated.
Well, we didn't hear the whole thing here.
Yeah, we did. That was it. We did the entire Gettysburg Address. Yes, he did it. I spared the rest of us the needless words. You know, Lila, why don't you continue this wonderful tradition here, all right?
We don't have to love them, but we can.
The fact that there's, only 3 million of them homeless and without benefits and so on. Let's say the Gettysburg Address.
Let's talk about facts on minimum wage.
But you know what? That's the problem, and I say this with all due respect for the union, but that's the problem with the management of unions, okay? They are a little bit outdated, outmoded, and kind of like sucked into the system. You need a new party, boys. You need something to happen here.
I'd like to read what the facts are on minimum wage.
Okay. 54 arrested in Los Angeles demanding change at Walmart. They arrested 54 people for that right to speak out. That's what's happening. More than 50 Walmart workers and community faith and union supporters, including Maria Del Durozo, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, were arrested Wednesday night protesting Walmart's low wages. Alleged retaliation against workers freaking out for change. The 54 were arrested after sitting down in an intersection outside Chinatown Walmart. More than 500 Walmart workers and their supporters crowded the nearby sidewalks and cheered on the demonstrators. The arrest followed a day of strikes at Walmart workers by several Southern California stores. The lockouts continued Thursday. One of the protesting Walmart workers, Anthony Goicha, a 31-year-old father of two, told Huffington Post that he will make about $12,000 this year. It's a daily struggle, he says, to make sure my family doesn't go hungry. The power went out at my house yesterday because I couldn't afford the bill. I had to run around and get 2 payday loans to pay for my rent. Yesterday, we went to a food bank. The company has turned a $17 billion profit so far this year, yet pays its workers so little, many of them count on public assistance or food and health care. The strikers in Los Angeles and Walmart workers who plan nationwide demonstrations on Black Friday are demanding the company pay full-time workers at least $25,000 a year.
That's pathetic, too.
I don't think that's not asking. That's not even asking very much.
Yeah, I know. But that's double what this poor guy is making.
Yeah.
Okay. Learn more about the Black Friday actions and search for a day after Thanksgiving event in your area. Also, be sure to visit our Walmart and Making Change at Walmart for more information. See our photos from Los Angeles Confederation of Union. And go to that, folks. Go to the FLCIO blog and check this out. Just, you know, these poor people, God almighty, you know, they deserve it. You know? I mean, they deserve to be paid. They deserve to be respected for their personality. Okay. Poor highlight on Richard Tonka. Let's see, what else can we do here? Well, with the Walmart group, I swear to God, it's really sad. You know, it's really a sad situation. But they're so poorly treated. And like I said, I've worked at Walmart. I've went to Walmart. I've shopped at Walmart. And, you know, I probably shouldn't have. Yeah, I really probably shouldn't have, but I'm sorry that I did. If anybody can boycott Walmart, I think we're gonna have to do that because it's really very, very sick company, and until they treat their workers right, it's gotta be something. Alex says, no sick days are democracy for you.
In the past 3 years, nine states have added new laws that prohibit local governments from passing paid sick leave ordinances. Seven of these laws were passed in 2013 above alone, and 14 states introduced such legislation in the past year. Think Progress reports, in every state where local preemption bills have passed on paid sick leave, members of the American Legislative Exchange Council were among the co-sponsors of the legislation. In most cases, corporate lobby groups such as the Chamber of Commerce, the National Federation of Independent Business, and National Research Association have also been heavily involved in passing the laws. It's bad enough that these groups oppose paid sick days for working families, but they don't even want democratically elected officials deciding on policies. They want to prevent these policies from even coming up for a vote. That's something.
Yeah.
So when you're sick, they can't even have a sick day.
No, it's really.
It's draconian, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, it's really bad. It's getting worse. You know, American workers are getting screwed. It's bad. Corporate groups routinely argue that paid sick leave ordinances will harm businesses, but the evidence so far rejects those claims. Business growth and job growth have been strong under Seattle's law. Job growth also has been strong in San Francisco, and its law enjoys strong business support. The policies in Washington, D.C. and Connecticut have come at little cost for businesses. In fact, expanding D.C.'s current law would net employers $2 million in savings, even with potential cost factors in. On the other hand, the average employer loses $225 per worker each year. Thanks to lost productivity when they get sick and can't get paid leave. Before 2010, Georgia was the only state to have such a preemption law. Since then, Arizona, Florida, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, Texas, and Wisconsin have all added them. This push comes as a direct response to local government showing a real momentum in passing paid sick leave ordinances. Six cities in the state of Connecticut have passed paid sick days laws, and other cities are considering joining them in protecting workers, customers, and employers from the negative effects of sick
Right. And it just makes sense. Come on. You know. But, hey, it's just so damn cheap. So miserable.
Yeah.
You know. And these people are so criminal. Crooked, greedy bastards.
They really are.
They really are. I mean, it's just a really sick situation.
And it puts the whole public in jeopardy. You have sick workers, especially in the food industry.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah, in the food industry, yeah. You know, coughing, well, here, we have a, I have to give Lila a day off over here. You know.
Thank goodness.
She's,
just because you're listening to us doesn't mean you can catch my germ.
Yeah, well, I can. Dredge workers, tug captain, both. Harper dredge crews at Weeks Marine and New Jersey and Navy tugboat captains at the Pacific Northwest have recently voted to join masters, mates, and pilots. The 50 Weeks Marine employees voted 4-1 for the union. The crew, the Iron Weeks, you don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Anyway, they joined the union.
Yeah, they joined the union. So, yippee-doo-doo. Okay. So, anyway, I'm very happy for that. People should join unions and support Walmart and all that stuff.
Don't support Walmart. Support the Walmart
workers.
Workers.
I didn't mean Walmart. Yeah,
you meant the workers.
Yeah, I meant the workers.
So they're going to be striking or maybe protesting on Black Friday. Thursday.
Black Thursday, I guess. Now it's Black Thursday.
Yeah.
No. But they were gonna be Black Friday, but now they're gonna open the stores on Thursday. Anyway, new executive order gives Obama unlimited power. Yes, Obama is now the great dictator by his own pen.
Yeah.
Obama signed a new executive order on Friday that gives him and the federal government unlimited power over all fossil fuels, land, water, and airspace.
That's scary.
Through the guise of dealing with global warming, the new order can be used to justify any action against you from preventing you to make changes to your property, to any activity that could increase greenhouse gases. Executive orders are unconstitutional in the first place, by creating laws outside the legislative process. This is in-your-face totalitarianism. We stop that. My God, Lila. Though, through the stroke of the pen, President Obama on Friday used his executive powers to alleviate and take control of climate change policies in an attempt to streamline sustainability initiatives and potentially skirt legislative oversight and push a federal agenda on the states. The executive order establishes a task force of state and local officials to advise the administration on how to respond to severe storms, wildfires, droughts, and other potential impacts of climate change. The task force includes governors of 7 states, all Democrats, and the Republican governor of Guam.
Guam?
A U.S. territory, 14 majors, and 2 other total local leaders also will serve on the task force. All of these 3 are the most of those appointed are Democrats. The task force will look at federal money spent on roads, bridges, flood control, and other. In other words, a total bullshit kind of
whitewash
of a crazy Obama numbnut kind of takeover entire.
I want you to look down here over here.
What?
Washington Times. That's interesting. 12 years after 9/11. 9/11, Obama sends guns to Al Qaeda.
Okay. Let's see what that's about. Oh yeah, we're supplying Al Qaeda with guns now because they're fighting in Syria.
Yeah.
Obama wants you to believe that it's necessary to send guns to the most dangerous terrorist groups in the world in order to overthrow the Syrian government because they supposedly use chemical weapons on their own people. That's assuming that we care nothing for the people that died on 9/11, so much so as to support our greatest enemy. Of course, this is more BS peddled by Obama. There is no way that we could agree to dismiss the highest crimes perpetrated against Americans in order to punish another country, government, or crimes we can hardly prove and who is in no way threatening us. Well, yeah, but we just gave immunity. Obama just gave immunity to G.W. Bush and all of his gang as war criminals.
He didn't just do it. He did it right after he was elected.
No, he gave it to them recently. Just recently, last month, he just signed away all of them. He gave them a full immunity. He just didn't bother with them, for the last few years. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton admits that we created Al-Qaeda to fight the Russians. She admitted that.
Finally.
Then Al-Qaeda attacked us on 9/11, which gave the government license to create an enormous spy grid used against Americans and other governments. He'd enter into more wars and disavow the Constitution. Then we used them to try to overthrow the Syrian government. Boy, those Al-Qaeda sure are useful.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, this thing goes on for a while. But, just note that, we're giving Al-Qaeda guns and ammunition, to fight us in Syria and everywhere else. And why is that? Because Obama is crazy. Obama is a Muslim. Obama, is a traitor. Thank you, everyone. That's good. Isn't that wonderful to know? I think it is. What else did we do? Oh, yes. Who is guilty of the bigger fraud? Bernie Madoff or President Obama? What do you think? He defrauded America. And Bernie just defrauded thousands of Jewish people. Let's see. Yeah, Obamacare. 1 million of insurance canceled in California. Yep. I love this. Christy Clinton virtually tied in new 2016 poll as Biden continues to trail. Right. Christy got one vote. Hillary got one vote. Therefore, they are tied. Mainstream media. What a wonderful, group, huh? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Under U.S. occupation, Afghan opium industry surges to new heights.
Yeah, that was all over the radio today.
Oh, was it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it then? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's been talked about by NPR.
And everybody else.
National Petroleum Radio.
Well,
what do you mean? You only listen to one station. We only listen to one station.
The big joke of it is that first we burned all the opium fields or got rid of all the poppies. Then we gave the farmers money to grow wheat. And, of course, wheat is a lousy product for them because it doesn't make them any money. So then they decided to grow more poppies.
And so we just, all of our soldiers just hang out there and guard the opium fields now.
That's about how it is. Now the opium is working its way over here
through Canada to
be sold as heroin.
And we got 95% of the opium market right here. You bet. CIA controls 95% of the opium market through Afghanistan. Obama's official enrollment numbers released by Sebelius. Anybody want to hear that? There were only about 50,000 people.
That was kind of pathetic.
50,000 lucky people. I know this was kind of sad. But the suicide on Indian nations, Indian reservations.
Yeah. Very sad.
Decades of shame and silence among the tribes' members about suicide compound the problem.
At 15, high school sophomore Colorado's manga knows all too much about suicide. He's recently had several friends who took their own lives, and he survived a suicide attempt himself. Colorado, a member of the Chiricahua Apache tribe, lives on the Mescalero Apache Reservation in New Mexico, where there have been 5 youth suicides since the start of the school year. All were his friends. Colorados went to Capitol Hill Thursday to tell lawmakers about the urgent problem of suicide among Native Americans. Tribal suicide rates are 70% higher for than the general population, and the youth suicide rate is even higher. On some reservations, the youth suicide rates are 10 times the national average. Things go wrong that they can't change, Colorado said, trying to explain the high rate of suicide in his community. They don't get shown the love they need. They say, you don't love me when I was here, now you love me when I'm not here. On the mountainous Mescalero Reservation located in south-central New Mexico, more than 200 miles south of Albuquerque, a single mental health clinic serves a tribe of more than 4,500 people. The closest 24-hour hotline is in Albuquerque. Calls for help are usually answered by tribal police or law enforcement officers from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, said Jeremiah Simmons, coordinator of Honor Your Life, a teen outreach program in Mescalero, New Mexico. While praising police, Simmons said their highly visible presence often results in what he called criminalization of suicidal thoughts, making teens reluctant to reach out. Decades of shame and silence among tribe members about suicide compound the problem, Simmons said. Colorado's wearing a traditional Apache shirt and a red bandana over his long black hair, said he was nervous about testifying, but spurred on by the memory of his late grandmother, a community leader who named him after one of his ancestors, Mangus Colorado, a well-known Apache chief. I am from a new generation of young men and women who believe in breaking the silence and seeking help, Colorado testified. I come from a people whose pride runs deep, but I also understand that sometimes pride can keep us from asking for help. He urged the panel to boost staff at the reservation's mental health clinic and create a youth shelter where teens can go when the home life becomes very toxic. Such a center may prevent teens from trying to take their own lives, he said. Senator Brian Dorgan of North Dakota, chairman of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, called the rate of youth suicide in Indian country a crisis that demands urgent attention. It's an ongoing tragedy made more so by the fact that it is so preventable, Dorgan said. Native Americans need more mental health providers and resources, and if they had them, many of these deaths could be prevented. Dorgan said the Indian Health Care Improvement Act, approved as a part of the health care overhaul signed by President Barack Obama, would authorize a comprehensive youth suicide prevention effort on Indian reservations. The bill also boosts mental health resources throughout Indian country. We're doing everything we can to recognize the suicide problem and put a spotlight on it and understand how to address it in order to save the lives of young people, Dorgan said.
Well, yeah, it's sad.
Very
it's so
sad.
Tragic. Yeah.
Well, it was very brave of him to come forward and speak. That
it's so tragic.
Something well done about it if they get some mental health support.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder. Here's something really interesting. I this is pretty bizarre. But, you know, it looked at Elizabeth Warren. I like her, I don't like her, and Obama babe and everything. But she makes some sense.
Sometimes, yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, GOP making naked attempts to nullify the 2012 election. Senator Elizabeth Warren got on the Senate floor on Wednesday to change the charge that her Republican colleagues are still so bitter about the election results last year. They are doing everything within their power to nullify the results of that election by fighting President Obama at every turn, including filibustering cabinet and judicial nominees. Warren reminded Republican senators that they may hate the policies Obama's pushed for, but he ran for re-election on them and won handily. Warren called them out in public, particularly for blocking Obama's nominees to fill their vacancies in the D.C. Circuit Court, explaining that this is a constitutional duty of the president, and there is no clause that says except when that president is Democrat. We went off on the government shutdown and all the GOP filibusters got before getting to what she said was the real reason behind these tactics. We need to call out these filibusters for what they are, naked attempts to nullify the results of the last presidential election. To force us to govern as though President Obama hadn't won the 2012 election. Well, President Obama did win the 2012 election by 5 million votes, and he has done what the Constitution requires to do. And Warren concluded, if the Republicans are going to keep filibustering qualified nominees for not apparent reasons, the senators have a duty to change the filibuster rules. Well, you know, that's probably true.
Let's see what she says.
Outside the taxi window.
Sarah Palin is back in the news. Good.
Yeah, she was saying this. President Sarah Palin would have kicked the living hell out of Al Qaeda in Benghazi.
Right.
They would still be talking about it today, but instead, our coward in chief took another toke, rolled over in bed, and let four brave patriots die miserably. Okay, miserable death.
I don't want to read anything she has to say. I'm
glad you brought it up. I just thought it was interesting. Anyone who would just throw away 200 years of military ethos and leave our men behind to be murdered should never be considered as a commander-in-chief. That's he's probably right on that. In 100 years, we have gone from teaching Latin and Greek in high school to teaching remedial English in college. Says Joseph Sarbanes. I wrote that. And no child left behind her. And this is funny. I'll have to show you that one day. It's 20 photos of the weirdest couples.
Okay.
Oh, my.
People are demanding that Barack Obama leave office.
Yeah, remove from office. Yeah, that's getting common. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Valerie Jarrett, who is President Obama's number one advisor, her daughter and son-in-law worked for the company that received $653 million for Obamacare.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
Oh, how coincidental.
Now we know why a company in Canada got the contract for Obamacare. Valerie Jarrett's daughter married the son of Canadian Prime Minister who chose the IT firm for Obamacare healthcare website for $653 million.
How convenient.
Yep. Obama.
And they've done a lousy job.
So, but that's the whole thing. And Obama actually attended the wedding of the Toronto Liberals. MPP son. Imagine that. He went to Valerie Jarrett's daughter's wedding and gave him handed him a $653 million contract.
Must be nice.
Wasn't that a nice wedding gift?
Yeah,
oh,
I guess so.
Wow.
You must sell her a big time.
Valerie Jarrett, she's his handler. Yeah. That's a maturing candidate.
It's too bad they didn't, it'd be fine if the contract went to them and the company worked,
But they did, but they botched
they
the whole
botched
thing.
The whole
they weren't
deal
not qualified to do it.
Obviously not qualified.
No. This is something here. China posed to demand U.S. land as payment for U.S. debt. New York, could real estate on American soil owned by China be set up as development zones in which the communist nation could establish Chinese-owned businesses and bring in its citizens to the U.S. to work?
God, I hope not.
This part of an evolving proposal Beijing has been developing quietly since 2009 to convert more than $1 trillion of U.S. debt it owns into equity. $1 trillion of our debt. Under the plan, China would own U.S. businesses, U.S. infrastructure, and U.S. high-value land, all with a U.S. government guarantee against loss. Yu Kuo, a professor of economics and public policy and management at Tsinghua University in Beijing, proposed in 2009 a plan for the U.S. government to guarantee foreign investments in the United States. WMD, which is this, has reliable information that the Bank of China, China's central bank, has continued to advance the plan to converge China's holdings of U.S. debt into equity owned by China in the U.S.
Well, I hope they don't fall for that one.
I know. The Obama administration, under the plan, would grant a financial guarantee as an inducement for China to convert U.S. debt into Chinese direct equity investment. China would take ownership of successful U.S. corporations, potentially profitable infrastructure corporations, and high U.S. Real estate. The plan would be designed to induce China to resume lending to the U.S. on a nearly zero interest basis.
Well,
I know. However, converting Chinese debt to equity investments in the United States could easily add another $1 trillion to outstanding Obama administration guarantees issued in the current economic crisis. As of November 2012, China owned $1.17 trillion in U.S. Treasury securities. Considered about the unrestrained growth of U.S. debt under Obama administration, China has reduced by 97% its holdings in short-term U.S. Treasury bills. China's holding of $573.7 billion in August 2008, prior to the massive bank bailouts and stimulus programs triggered by the collapse of the U.S. mortgage market, dwindled to $5.96 billion by March 2011. Treasury bills are short-term debt that matures in 1 year or less, sold to finance U.S. debt. Holding of Treasury bills are included in the $1.7 trillion of total Treasury securities owned by China as of November 2012. In addition to the national debt,
in excess of $16 trillion,
the U.S. government in 2010 faced over $70 trillion in unfunded obligations, including Social Security and Medicare benefits scheduled to be paid retiring baby boomers, retirees in coming decades, and unfunded obligations showing no sign of being reduced with Congress at a deadlock over reducing federal government spending.
I don't know. That doesn't make sense right there.
What?
About the Social Security and Medicare. But
the thing is, the government's borrowed all that money, all right, from the Social Security fund, and it can't pay it back unless they borrow it from somewhere else. Yu Kuo observed that if the U.S. dollar collapsed under the weight of a proposed Obama administration $1 trillion budget deficit in the foreseeable future, holders of U.S. debt would face substantial losses, and the Financial Times estimated would devastate Asian hard-earned wealth and terminate economic globalization. The basic idea is to turn Asian savings, China in particular, into real estate interest rather than lending.
Into real business interest.
Real business interest rather than let them be used to support U.S. overconsumption, reflecting themes commonly suggested by Chinese government officials. While fixed income securities are vulnerable to any fall in the value of the dollar, equity claims on sound corporations and infrastructures project are
projects are at least less risk for a firm default. The interesting thing is, how the hell would they allow them to take over corporations?
I don't understand that.
I don't understand either. You know, I can see securing it with land, federal land, maybe, but Clinton already did that.
I don't think they ought to secure it with anything.
I don't either.
They don't have to. They took
no,
it without
don't.
Security.
They took it without security.
That's like the bank giving you some money and then saying, oh, now
we want your house.
10 years later, you know, you need to give us your house even though we didn't have you sign that.
Even
too
though,
bad.
Even though you haven't defaulted, we still want it.
Yeah, no, I think
yeah.
that's the stupidest
yeah.
thing I ever heard of.
It's unsecured debt, buddy. You take it or
leave it. Mm-hmm.
How's that?
You don't like it, too bad.
I don't know. I'm going to lose that shit. Six, oh, here's interesting. These little zippers.
Oh, that's what's his name.
Yeah.
Marxist
utopia, North Korea, publicly executes 80 people for watching South Korean TV shows. Hasn't it?
Oh, my God.
And yet, New York City just elected a Marxist as the next mayor. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I guess the guy they elected is a Marxist. North Korea publicly executed about 80 people earlier this month. Many for watching smuggled South Korean TV shows, a South Korean newspaper reported Monday. A conservative, Jong-un Ibu, cited a single, unidentified source, but at least one North Korean defector group said it had heard rumors that lent credibility to the front page report.
The source said to be familiar with North Korea's internal affairs and recently returned from the country, said the executions were carried out in seven cities on November 3rd. In the eastern port of Wonsan, the authorities gathered 10,000 people in a sports stadium to watch the execution of 8 people by a firing squad, the source quoted one eyewitness as saying.
This is Rodman's best friend.
Yeah. Kim Jong-il.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't know. And what was that about the Marxist mayor of New York?
I don't know.
I don't even know who that person is.
Some guy. Yeah, he got elected, but I don't know his name.
I don't either.
I don't know who he is. Now, here's something that shocked me a little. And should shock you too. A death by Obamacare reform means cancer patients. Obamacare is supposed to be a huge boon for anyone with a pre-existing condition. Count that another promise broken. It actually is denying care because of pre-existing conditions.
How about that?
Millions of Americans with cancer and other chronic illnesses will wind up paying more for life-saving care if they can get it at all. To keep costs down, the White House designed Obamacare as a cut-rate HMOs. The low profit margins have forced insurers to downsize the number of doctors and hospitals in their network and to slash what they cover for out-of-network treatment. So most Obamacare plans don't include the vast majority of the breast cancer doctors and cancer centers. That's a huge problem for these patients. As Dr. Scott Gottlieb, a former medical official, writes, cancer patients often need the help of specialized doctors and cancer institutions that won't make it into many of these cheapened networks. All across the country, leading cancer centers, including Network of New York's Memorial Sloan Kettering, are excluded by the largest plans. In Washington State, the largest exchange plans exclude world-class cancer care for kids such as the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. California's state-of-the-art Cedars-Sinai Cancer Center isn't in any Obamacare plan. Only a few plans include the Mayo Clinic. And if you want a doctor outside such networks, you'll generally have to pay the full cost of care. Many people will get better coverage at a lower cost under Obamacare. After all, the feds are spending hundreds of billions of dollars on it. But most cancer patients will wind up paying more for less. Take Michael Chirpok, a leukemia survivor in Fountain Hills, Arizona. Right now, his monthly premium is about half his monthly take-home pay. But the Obamacare law forces his insurer to kill the plan for one that fits the law's rules. Now he'll have to pay more for drugs, and his Mayo Clinic doctor is no longer in his network. Last year, his treatment bill was more than $350,000, but thanks to insurance, his out-of-pocket was only $4,500. Now to keep his doctor, the one who has kept him alive for 7 years, Chirpok will have to pay $26,000 out-of-pocket.
Oh, my God, he doesn't have that insurance.
Obamacare now also stints on drug coverage, severely limiting the medicine plan coverage. Many pre-Obama plans discharged a copay of $50 to $70 a month for cancer drugs. Under Obamacare, thousands of cancer patients will have to pay more than $2,500 a month for medicine. God, this guy's a criminal. Horribly, Obamacare is limiting access to new medicines just as a revolution is delivering far better treatment. More than 40 new treatment target the generic sources of tumors, genetic sources of tumors, as opposed to old therapies that kill cancer cells after they spread. On average, Obamacare plans covered only 10 targeted therapies and insurers don't have to add new breakthroughs until 2016. A study of Alvar Health found that up to 90% of Obamacare plans will force cancer patients to cover half the cost of their new drugs until they hit the out-of-pocket maximum. By comparison, only 29% of non-Obama employer-based plans do so. Many patients will just give up. Another Alvar study found that people are 4 times more likely to stop using innovative therapies if they have to pay $500 or more. South Carolina Bill Everett Elliott, 50, and a late-stage lung cancer survivor, is looking at doing just that. He reports that premiums for his family will jump from $150 to $1,500 a month. His doctor isn't in the Obamacare network, and neither are his medicines, so he's thinking about stopping altogether. Pay the $95 or whatever fine, and I'm just going to let nature take its course, because he cannot want to burden his family. Forget the website and other disasters. The ugliest part of Obamacare is how it denies life-saving coverage to cancer patients. That isn't a glitch. It's a cruel and key feature of the law. Robert Goldberg is vice president of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest and publisher of thevalueofinformation.org.
It's pretty scary.
That's absolutely disgusting. Absolutely. They got to repeal this goddamn law.
Not going to happen.
Unless people are too damn stupid to say anything or do anything about it, they're going to let it go.
Or they're too sickly, a lot of people. What are they going to do? Tell me, what are you going to do?
They're not too sick to write a letter, not too sick to say
They can do that.
To make a phone call.
You know, I doubt if it's going to have any effect, but they can try.
You don't know. If millions of people did it and said it, they would do it, you know. But, you know, they just don't care. It's a sad situation, man. They don't care. They don't care.
I think cancer patients care. Maybe they've written letters. Who knows where those letters go? They're just taking them personally. They call their representatives.
They'll try to do something. I mean, I feel bad.
That's if they can reach them.
Well, here's an interesting one. Leftists. Used to be a leftist, Lila.
Yeah.
Leftists want porn stars to wear goggles. The government leftists claim that their intrusive policies exist to make our society safer. Inevitably, though, limited
regulation gives way to an absurd level of bureaucratic overreach. Such is the case with lawmakers in California dealing with the pornography industry. Voters signed on to a bill last year that would require actors in the genre to wear prophylactics while performing sex acts. Well, unsatisfied by that victory, legislators in the deep blue state now want to take government intervention to an outrageous level. According to a recently proposed amendment, pornographic actors would be required to wear safety goggles, while if contact of their eyes with open STI is reasonably anticipated. I don't know what open STI is.
Where is that?
Open, O-P-I-M, S-T-I.
I don't know.
For the sake of contact, O-P-S-T-I.
Body fluids.
Right reference for a number of body fluids or waste.
That's how you contact AIDS.
Right. Furthermore, okay. Gloves will be required with industry employees handle contaminated clothing. What started as an ostensible effort to reduce the spread of sexually transmitted diseases quickly escalated to a bureaucratic boondoggle.
Can you imagine how sexy it would be if they were all wearing rubber gloves and goggles?
And latex and goggles, you know, like hazmat suits that have sex. Yeah. It obviously understand the inherent risk. While this article is hardly an endorsement of the porn industry, those who make their living in it obviously understand the inherent risk. Forcing actors to wear hazmat suits to film a scene goes far beyond the expectation most people have for their representatives. A number of prominent stars, including James Dean, have spoken out decisively against this and other government mandates. Dean said he predicts that much of the industry will most likely move production out of Los Angeles and take our tax money with it. He made the prophetic statement that the initial bill passed and in the intervening months permits for pornographic production in the city have dropped by more than 99%. Okay. Many in the industry take their own precautions to avoid associated dangers, and at the end of the day, it should be the right of American citizens to decide what level of risk they are willing to take. Ironically, leftists are the first to uphold a woman's right to choose what to do with her body when it involves ripping a murdered child out of her womb. The same cannot be said when the same woman wants to engage in a consensual act on camera.
Crazy.
I mean, you wear a hazmat suit, son? I thought that was funny. I had to read that. Anyway, we're almost out of time, folks.
I'm not sure how erotic that would be.
I don't think so. 12 little known laws of karma. Let's read those. Maybe a couple of them. What is karma? Karma is a Sanskrit word for action. It is equivalent to Newton's law, and every action must have a reaction. When we think, speak, or act, the initiator force that will react accordingly. This returning force may be modified, changed, or suspended. Most people will not be able to eradicate it. Number one, the great law. Number two, the law of creation. The law of humility. What you refuse to accept will continue for you. Yes. The law of growth, the law of responsibility, the law of connection, the law of giving and hospitality, the law of here and now, the law of change, the law of impatience and reward, and the law of significance and inspiration. That's pretty nice. So that's what karma is, folks. And with that, we say goodnight.
Goodnight, folks.
All right, and you can check that out at in5d.com if you're interested. in5d.com is the 12 known laws of karma.
Sure.
It'll change your mind. All right, so thanks everybody for joining us, and have a pleasant evening. Good night.